This episode of The Sweaty Penguin is brought to you by Abandoned Chairs on the Side of the Road. Are you looking for a chair? There's probably one on the side of the road.
On August 18th, the National Hurricane Center issued the first Southern California tropical storm watch in history as Hurricane Hillary barreled up the coast. God forbid women are strong and powerful, right? Now, as an East Coaster now living in LA, I felt like such a bad adult because I didn't get to go to the grocery store to buy my food and essentials until the day before. But when I got there and saw it felt basically like a normal Saturday, I realized that many in Los Angeles had never experienced a hurricane, and what's worse, a lot were not taking it seriously. Good Wednesday morning, I'm Ethan Brown, and this is Tip of the Iceberg, where I will break down some environmental news and then answer a question from our listeners on the air. Submit questions via Patreon, email, or social media. Patron questions go to the front of the line, so sign up at patreon.com/thesweatypenguin. The Sweaty Penguin is presented by Peril and Promise, a public media initiative from the WNET Group in New York, reporting on the issues and solutions around climate change. You can learn more at pbs.org/perilandpromise. At its worst, Hillary was a Category 4 Pacific hurricane, which hit 145-mile-per-hour winds, brought flooding, mudslides, and torrential rainfall to the Pacific coast of Mexico, the Baja California Peninsula, and the southwestern United States, and broke state rainfall records as far away as Idaho, Montana, Nevada, and Oregon. Like when your friend's new situationship completely wrecks their schedule and sends group plans into chaos. Fortunately for LA, Hillary had weakened to a tropical storm when it reached us, and the weather system moved quickly enough to avoid too much prolonged damage. But just like a failed situationship, we certainly didn't get away unscathed from Miss Hillary. In California, portions of I-8, I-10, I-15, SR-14, and the Pacific Coast Highway closed due to flooding and rock slides, more than 5,000 customers in LA were left without electricity, and rainfall totals reached as high as 11.74 inches around San Jacinto Peak. 11.74 inches is a lot to take. The worst of the damage, however, was in Mexico, where nearly 1,900 people were evacuated to shelters in the Baja Peninsula, and the country has faced two casualties. Now, while governments and emergency assistance groups like the Red Cross mobilized quickly before the storm, many individuals in Los Angeles seemed to react differently. Plastered across TikTok were videos of mostly young people riding pool floats down flooded streets, going to Disneyland, waiting in line at In-N-Out Burger, saying how much we needed the rain, and otherwise not taking the storm seriously. I was going to say it felt like Florida man behavior, except Floridians actually know how to prepare for a hurricane. I mean, what, is California man gonna be a thing now? Getting a ticket for driving a Tesla with surfboards stacked too high on the roof? Bartering Instagram followers for a morning coconut milk latte? Inventing a new type of yoga that involves hiking while balancing chia bowls? Wow, the possibilities are endless. As climate change increases the chances of future tropical cyclones reaching Southern California, I get worried when my young neighbors disregard warnings for the first hurricane of their lives, luck out with a weakened storm, and then feel justified in their blasé approach. As the generation purportedly most concerned and anxious about climate change, I would argue we should be educating ourselves, acting responsibly, and using our humor and social media savvy to inform others rather than downplaying a serious storm. Sipping piña coladas and quite literally getting caught in the rain is not the appropriate response here. As an LA transplant from Connecticut, I've seen hurricanes far worse than Hillary. I won't do the hurricane edition of the Indianapolis speech from Jaws that I had prepared, but I will say that my family lost power for a week during Hurricane Sandy in 2012 and Hurricane Isaias in 2020. Had we shown up at amusement parks or fast food drive-thrus instead of buying a generator, stocking up on groceries and essentials, filling the tub, signing up for emergency alerts, we would have been in for a brutal awakening. In all fairness, Kwasi just isn't worth the risk. That's just for any Connecticut listeners. And losing power for a week is one thing. Families closer to the coast, not to mention those in other regions, who experienced Harvey, Maria, Florence, Michael, Dorian, Laura, Ida, Fiona, and Ian in just the last 6 years, encountered significantly more damage. Those who did not prepare or heed evacuation orders put their lives at risk. And yes, I'm referring to the hurricanes, not Mrs. C's kindergarten class. Although with those 9 troublemakers, I'd evacuate that job too. As we've discussed in many past episodes, while climate change does not cause these hurricanes, it often intensifies them. It's like a trailer without the inception, boom, versus with the inception, boom. Heat is energy. So higher temperatures allow hurricane winds to reach much greater speeds. Warm temperatures also lead to more water evaporating, causing more severe rainfall. And by driving sea level rise via thermal expansion and glacial melt, climate change helps storms intrude further inland, resulting in increased damage. In all fairness, the storm is just being vulnerable. It's really the land that's acting avoidant and not accepting the storm in. Like, get it together, land. But it's true. Climate change intensifies these storms. A peer-reviewed environmental research letters study found climate change made the extreme rainfall during Hurricane Harvey about 3 times more likely, or about 15% more intense, than it would have been without human greenhouse gas emissions. The reason hurricanes so rarely hit Southern California is a combination of cold ocean water, natural winds shearing the tops off of developing systems, and the variety of emotional barriers it holds to anyone besides its toxic on and off partner, earthquakes. I'll tell you later my hot take theory on how the hurricane could have caused the earthquake that nobody is talking about. But during an El Nino event, as we are in right now, also known as a hot boy summer, those winds slow down, which also allows surface water to heat up and stay put in the eastern Pacific. These conditions, combined with climate change, allowed a rare storm like Hillary to occur. According to MIT hurricane scientist Carrie Emanuel, the odds of a tropical cyclone hitting downtown LA and dropping 40 centimeters of rain have increased over threefold, due in large part to climate change. In the state of California, where 86% of youth say they have personally taken action to respond to climate change, and 80% say they've experienced climate anxiety, people should know better than to downplay or underestimate a hurricane. But alas, the burning desire to go viral on TikTok reigns supreme above all else. My time in LA has shown me why it's nicknamed the City of Angels. Young people who choose to move across the country to LA in pursuit of bright lights and stardom are no doubt courageous, carefree, idealistic, messed up in the head. Sorry, I got something stuck in my throat. That attitude lends itself well to the simple, individual, environmental actions ingrained in daily life here, like thrifting, paper straws, oat milk lattes, sharing Kate Blanchett's Instagram posts. But psychologists find climate anxiety can also lead people to disengage and block out information to manage fear or stress. When many young Angelenos faced the first hurricane of their lives, they did just that, neglecting to display any realism and responsibility. I never thought I'd be on the side of panic buying, but apparently this is where we're at now. While this response was concerning from a local safety perspective, especially if worse tropical storms hit in the future, it could also come off as hypocritical. As the state with the largest complex of geothermal power plants in the world, $80.8 billion in solar investments, a new 399-square-mile offshore wind development envelope, bans on gasoline-powered vehicle sales past 2035, and plans to hit 95% clean electricity by 2040, California routinely claims climate leadership on the national and international stage. If that wasn't enough, California also has the most single-origin organic non-GMO kale. I mean, talk about visionaries. But California residents actually expect the state to lead. 75% of Californians say the state's role as a world climate leader is important to them. In all fairness, the state government did its part to prepare and disseminate information during Hurricane Hillary. But if residents of California's biggest city are making light of a climate-induced storm, other states might get skeptical next time the Golden State tries to trailblaze. That's not to say we can't create hurricane TikToks with some LA humor and charm. Comedy is a fantastic coping mechanism. It helped me so much through my 8 divorces and my teen years being raised by a family of meerkats. It just shouldn't dismiss the gravity of a story. I've hosted this podcast for over 3 years, finding humor in hundreds of climate issues while still communicating their seriousness. My all-star comedy team conjures jokes out of anything, from carcinogenic chemicals to oil fields to the perils and pains of my personal life. So glad that Ethan's Therapy is available on PBS.org or wherever you get your podcasts. People ask me a lot how we pull off jokes that still take the issues seriously, and it's actually not that complicated philosophically. It requires a shift from the superiority theory of humor, where one laughs at another due to some failing defect or misfortune, like when our comedy writer Valina and I were friends in high school and at 2 inches taller, she would ask me, "How's the weather down there?" to the incongruity theory of humor, where one laughs at the surprise mingling of two disparate ideas. You know, like a photon walks up to the airline counter to get a ticket, and the clerk asks, "Any baggage to check?" And the photon says, "No, I'm traveling light." No? Okay, how's this? Why did the chicken... No, it's an indentured servitude. You know what? Fine, let's move on. Incongruous jokes subvert our expectations of how the world works, making them perfect complements to the delivery of new information. Done right, they can actively reduce anxiety instead of just blocking it out. That's why my therapist starts every session with a knock-knock joke. I say knock-knock, and she says, "Ethan, use telehealth like I told you." Well, I wouldn't expect LA's nonchalant young people to prepare perfectly for their first hurricane. I at least thought a climate-aware group that constantly asks how can I help solve the climate crisis would educate themselves on this storm and give their best effort. Seeing Angelenos fail to even do that was extremely disappointing. Turning a residential street into a slip and slide is an effort, but not the best one. It is essential that next time a climate disaster hits, we engage more mindfully and constructively in order to preserve our safety, national climate leadership, and the life of California Man while he insists on being paid in Bitcoin for his local theater production. And now, here's Valina with the news.
Hi there, I'm Valina, and this is your weekly environmental news update. In South Korea, Typhoon Kanun marked the first typhoon to traverse from south to north since 1951, which suspiciously coincides with the last time that Koreans could easily traverse from south to north. I'm not saying that Typhoon Kanun is hiding something, But until it can give me an alibi from 1950 to 1953, I will be treating it as a hostile agent. Kanun followed the historic Typhoon Doksuri in late July, which caused extensive damage in the Philippines, Taiwan, China, and Vietnam, and became the costliest typhoon to hit China on record. But hey, at least she said she's Doksari. Climate change intensifies typhoons in other tropical systems by 1. Increasing wind speeds via energy from higher temperatures, 2. Driving stronger precipitation via increased evaporation from those high temperatures that we just mentioned, and 3. Helping storms intrude further inland due to sea level rise. Talk about an unwanted guest. Bangladesh is experiencing its most severe dengue fever outbreak to date, with over 300 fatalities and approximately 63,700 infections this year. To make matters worse, an anonymous leak has revealed Bengali pharmaceutical company Orion Pharma's recent patent application for, quote, mosquito Viagra. Needless to say, their PR team is working overtime. As of the morning of August 5th, nearly 2,500 patients suffering from high fever, joint pain, and vomiting had been admitted to hospitals across the country over the previous 24 hours, according to its Directorate General of Health Services. The World Health Organization has linked the increase in dengue cases to climate change, as warmer and wetter conditions favor mosquito breeding, which, in my opinion, is the best climate to get things going. You know those mosquitoes are in their hot girl summer. While the U.S. government estimates everyone's feeling a little bit of PFAS fever, a new study out of Mount Sinai has found that Asian Americans have significantly higher levels of forever chemicals in their blood than people of other races and ethnicities. Efforts to replicate the study within the Sweaty Penguins comedy team were thwarted once my boss discovered that I've been drinking contaminated well water as a holistic treatment for my IBS. Despite revealing demographic disparities in chemical exposure, the study did not find a clear reason why Asian Americans have higher blood PFAS levels, with factors like immigration and higher seafood consumption advanced as possible explanations. What I will say is, if eating fish is linked to higher levels of PFAS, just imagine what it's like being part fish. Aquaman's gotta be like 70% Teflon by now. In the wake of 2022's droughts, firefighters in Mid and West Wales will be using sewage water treated with ultraviolet light to handle the heat. Brings a whole new meaning to fighting fire with fire, fighting fire with feces, fighting fire with a different kind of deadly weapon. There's a lot of low-hanging fruit here. Let me workshop this and get back to you guys. But according to Welsh Water, the prospect of water shortages becoming all the more common in the future means that water services are beginning to adapt. Fortunately, there is no shortage of sewage water in a country whose favorite foods are beans, rat paste, and bovril on wheat. That's all for today's update, folks. See you next week.
Are you in the market for a cheap chair but don't love the options on Facebook Marketplace? Then an abandoned chair on the side of the road is for you. Sure, you could just go to the nearest JCPenney's and buy a new chair, but it won't have the mysterious characteristics and charm of a possibly stained, splintered, and bug-infested abandoned chair on the side of the road. And so what if you get a nail stuck in your butt? The tetanus will only build character and add charm to your quirky little story of adventure. Abandoned chairs on the side of the road. Your life starts here.
The Sweaty Penguin is presented by Peril and Promise, a public media initiative from the WNET Group in New York, reporting on the issues and solutions around climate change. You can learn more at pbs.org/perilandpromise. Welcome back to Tip of the Iceberg. It's time for Ask Me Anything, where our listeners get a chance to ask me any environmental questions they may have. Submit questions via Patreon, email, or social media. Patron questions go to the front of the line, so sign up at patreon.com/thesweatypenguin. Today's Ask Me Anything comes from Liz Korbatov, who asks, I'm worried a near hurricane in California is basically the apocalypse climate-wise. What is the link between climate change and this hurricane, and should we be that worried? Thank you so much for the question, Liz. And I'm going to answer a couple bonus questions after this, because I did answer some of this during the episode. But no, we are not in a climate apocalypse. It's important to understand how multiple factors put this together. So I talked before how climate change can intensify storms. Climate change also was in large part what caused the heat dome over much of the midsection of the United States, which had more heat, which then could have led to more intense tropical storms. But El Nino also played a big factor too. El Nino is the trade winds that blow from east to west in the Pacific Ocean, slowing down. And when that happens, it takes less warm water away from the eastern Pacific, and that would have led to a more likely hurricane as well. Climate change can make El Nino events more extreme. At least that's what some preliminary research is showing, but that is a natural oscillation that happens, and so it's not necessarily caused by climate change. Certainly in a La Niña year or a normal year, I would not expect a hurricane to be reaching California. But I think the important point on just feeling stressed by a particular storm, we now can, with science, it's called attribution science, we can say that climate change had a X effect on a particular event. We can say climate change made a storm this much stronger or this much more likely. But even with that, I don't think that it's appropriate to use a individual storm to emotionally react with regard to climate change. Factually, sure. If we learn new information, if it's an opportunity to talk about an issue and educate, but emotionally, we have enough information to be concerned. We know how bad climate change is, and we also know what a path forward could look like. We have a lot of different solutions. We know these solutions can help not just the environment, but also the economy, health, justice. We've also made a good amount of progress already. If we know all of that, that is enough to have your emotion, and any given storm probably shouldn't affect that, if that makes sense. Certainly, it may make it hit closer to home, but again, we have the information. We don't need to react more because of a particular given event, unless there's new science and new science shows us something new that we should react to. Then I'd say that our emotions can change. A couple quick bonus questions, because I got these throughout the week and I figured I'd just keep this episode for Hurricane Hillary. I had been talking about how people kept saying we need the rain, and I was like, no, we don't. And some people were asking me why. We don't need the rain because California mostly is not in a drought anymore. Yes, we are very prone to drought. We'll probably be in another drought very soon, but extra rain right now really doesn't help anything. If you have enough rain, then the soil can absorb it, the plants get what they need, our rivers fill up. Once you exceed that, then it just leads to flooding. And in fact, dried out soil, as we had here from all this drought, can't absorb as much water anymore. You might know that if you're someone like me who is terrible at watering your houseplants. You put on water for the first time in a month and it just sits on the top. Kind of works the same way when you get hurricane rains after a drought. But we weren't in a drought. We stopped being in a drought maybe in January or February when we started getting a lot of rains from atmospheric rivers, and now we are okay. Again, it's very likely we'll be back in a drought soon, but more winds, especially hurricane force winds, it doesn't help. It just makes things worse. And the other question, that this was more just a hot take of mine that people were asking about, did the hurricane cause the earthquake? If you didn't know, there was I believe a 5.2, 5.1 magnitude earthquake, that hit. I actually felt my apartment shake. That was certainly the most extreme earthquake I had ever felt. And it's possible that hurricanes can cause earthquakes. Obviously, earthquakes themselves are mainly caused by shifts in tectonic plates, seismic activity underground, not necessarily something climate change is going to affect. But what can happen is if there is a large dump of rain near a area with seismic activity, and it's such a large dump of rain that it shifts the balance of the earth a little bit, that can trigger seismic activity. We've seen that happen a little bit where like a landslide will happen and that shifts the balance of the earth and that causes an earthquake, and these things compound on each other. Now, there's not a lot of documented cases, I don't think, of a hurricane causing an earthquake. Certainly earthquakes happen without hurricanes, so I don't want to assume that that's what happened, but I do think it's plausible. I'm sure scientists will look into this and see. It was kind of a hot take on my part just because there aren't scientists necessarily saying this. They said it's a possibility, but I think it's possible, and so I just found that very interesting and wanted to share that with people, especially since the term hurricane has seemed to caught on. It's possible that that term will get used again, but I also think it would be unlikely for hurricane rains to cause a extreme destructive earthquake. It's probably more likely to be like the one that we experienced here on Saturday, or even less severe. Sorry, not Saturday, Sunday. Thank you so much for the question, and thanks to all of you for listening to Tip of the Iceberg. Take 2 minutes, help out the show, and get a shout out at the end of the show by leaving a 5-star rating and review on Apple or Podcast Addict, or join our Patreon at patreon.com/thesweatypenguin. You get merch, bonus content, and more. The Sweaty Penguin is presented by Peril and Promise, a public media initiative from the WNET Group in New York, reporting on the issues and solutions around climate change. You can learn more at pbs.org/perilandpromise. The opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the hosts and guests. They do not necessarily reflect the opinions and views of Peril and Promise or the WNET Group. Thank you all for listening, and I'll see you on Friday for a deep dive on oysters. Oysters are super cool. They do a lot of cool stuff for their environment that you may not have known about. So come through on Friday. I will see you then.